Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Parkmanship Podcast. My name is Ryan, and I am with my co-host, Andrew, today. Andrew, how are you doing?
Pretty good. It's great to be back. We're going to be talking about National Parks Week 2023.
Yeah, happy National Park Week. National Park Week started yesterday, April 22nd.
And today's Earth Day?
No, yesterday was Earth Day.
Yesterday was Earth Day.
Yeah.
All right. Let's... It's been a while, so let's do some catching up. Ryan, I know you got some numbers you want to discuss.
Let's just discuss like what National Park Week is.
Oh yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's the celebration of the parks. I don't remember how many years it's been now. But every year starting on Earth Day, the National Parks celebrates an entire week of getting outdoors and just celebrating our national park system. Ryan, you probably have a little bit more background info.
Yeah, I also don't know how long it's been running, but it's been running for a while. And normally there's a fee-free day associated with either the week or one of the days, and that happened to be yesterday, Earth Day. So if you went to a park yesterday that charged a fee, you were actually not charged. And when I first heard of fee-free days, I always thought that it was a cool concept at the beginning, because it's like, oh yeah, here's something free. But now I just want to avoid it like the plague, because you know everyone just goes there on those days.
To be specific, I just Googled it. National Park Week took place in 1991.
Yeah, so a long time.
Yep. So, and during that year, they also created 14 new national parks while Bush was serving as president.
Also, normally they have like a theme for every single day.
Yeah, I was just reading that.
So like today, April 23rd is Discovery. So I don't know. Check the Instagram and Facebook accounts of your favorite national parks, and they'll probably have more information on that. Their themes are kind of weird this year.
Yeah, I did see that.
Do you know why it's in April?
No. Do you know why it's in April?
No, I do not. I just thought April's kind of weird because a lot of the mountainous parks, and then even some of the New England parks, like a lot of the parks in Massachusetts are still closed until Weir Farm's still closed. I mean, you can still walk there, but all the buildings are closed until May. So it's weird that they do this thing honoring national parks where quite a few of them have large portions or are completely closed still.
My only guess is because of Earth Day, honestly.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, going green. Spring, I think.
Yep.
It's one of our favorite weeks. So.
It is indeed. I saw your post on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, I did. Go through some of the archives. I finally made a folder in my phone for all my national park photos. It turns out 90% of my photos on the phone have been taken at national parks. Wow. So, yeah, it's like 3,000 photos or something crazy.
Awesome. I have to organize mine by year now because I have so many national park photos.
Yeah, and we're going to add more this year.
Yep, in August.
Yep. Well, I think I might be going to Great Smoky Mountain National Park in June, but that's up in the air right now. But nice. Yeah, we're definitely doing some parks this year. Not as many big parks this year. We're going to reserve that for, I think, 2024, but we are going to South Carolina this year to explore so far. Yeah,
will be fun.
Yep, probably DC again, because we always go to DC.
Last year was the first year I didn't go to DC in since like 2015.
Yeah, I think that's same. I think I've gone every year for like 2015 or 2016.
We went in 2016, so you've been.
I know that. I'm just trying to think. I think we've gone almost. Yeah, and I've been there for other reasons, but no, I drove through DC, but I don't really count that as.
Nah, you can't count that.
Yeah.
I mean, I drew through DC last year.
I got stuck in DC traffic, so that doesn't really count.
Nah, that's only the bad stuff. You need good stuff for it to count as an official visit.
Yeah, no parks, just sadness. So let's get into it. Speaking of national parks, you have some news about the national parks and their numbers for visits last year, if I'm correct, Ryan.
Yeah, that's correct. We've been away since, when was our last episode? December, I think.
I think we
That's been
did
that.
like a 2022 recap. Yeah,
Yeah,
I
so
have
we
to
haven't done an
look.
episode since December, so it's been a while. So I thought I'd pick a new story from last month when the National Park Service finally released their visitation data for the year 2022. Can you guess how many people visited national parks, or how
A
many
lot.
park visits there were
A
to
lot.
national parks in 2022?
Is a lot a good enough answer?
No, a specific number.
Million? I don't know. It's
All right.
this it's I for me it's such a large number to fathom, right?
Yeah, it's 311,985,998.
I was off by a little bit.
Yes.
Just a couple millions, but I
Oh,
was close. That's
yeah.
imp
No. So that was the highest amount of visitation since 2019. Now, can you guess the most visited park?
Yosemite,
No.
Yellowstone,
No.
Glacier.
It's not a national park.
Real is it DC?
No.
It's not a national park. I got
You
no
ready?
idea. Yeah.
It's the Blue Ridge Parkway was number one with 15,711,004 visitors or visitation. Blue Ridge is normally the number one most visited park in the national park system. If it's not, then it's the Golden Gate National Recreation Area, and Golden Gate happened to be number two for 2022. I was actually one of the 15 million people that visited Blue Ridge Parkway last year. I visited there for the first time.
Is it because people drive through it is what they're counting?
I think it's just a popular area. So I'll list off
Okay.
the rest of the top 10. So two is Golden Gate, three was Great Smoky Mountains, which is connected right to it. So it's
Yeah.
this has to be a very visited area, I would imagine.
Yeah, I plan on going down there while I'm in North Carolina because my friend only lives about 2 hours away. So I might hit both.
Nice. So number four was Gateway National Recreation Area. Surprised by that?
Like outside New York?
Yep, that one.
No, not really, because it's an urban area. It's kind of like the Golden Gate,
Yeah.
but less cool because there's no Golden Gate.
That was the only other one from the top 10 I visited last year.
I mean, you can't swim in either one. One is high rapids, the other one is the water surrounding New York City.
Yes.
Don't want to grow an extra appendage or something.
No. Let's see where we were. Number five was the Lincoln Memorial.
Been there. Yep.
Six was the George Washington Memorial Parkway.
Where's that?
That is, it's kind of on the other side of the Potomac,
Oh,
from
okay.
DC. We've probably been on there before together.
Probably.
If you've been on a road with a lot of potholes around DC, that's the George Washington Parkway.
I feel like that's most roads in America, though, because, our
Yeah.
infrastructure is failing, but whatever.
All right, where am I on this list? I think I'm on seven is the Natchez Trace Parkway, which that's another one in that kind of Great Smoky Blue Ridge Parkway area.
Okay.
Eight was the Gulf Islands National Seashore. Nine is Lake Mead National Recreation Area.
That's right outside Vegas, right?
Yep. And then rounding out the top 10 is Vietnam Veterans Memorial.
Also in DC, great site.
Yeah, so any thoughts on this list?
Big urban areas.
Yes. Yeah. There's definitely
Except,
like clusters. You got that like Blue Ridge
yeah.
Parkway cluster, and then you got the DC cluster. Which I'm surprised that, Washington Monument or World War II Memorial didn't make that top 10 because they're literally right next to the other two.
I don't know.
It's weird. I wonder how they tabulate the DC visitors.
It must be so hard because, like, you also have commuters that are walking from building to building. You have tourists who just, not going into the park site. They're just taking pictures on, like, a bus tour or something. Like, there's got to be, like, I don't know. It's a good question. I would like to know. I'm going to find that out for a later episode.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Are there any surprising misses or inclusions on that list that you can think of besides
surprising the Yosemite Yellowstone? My guess is there was because it's like the most photographed parks. I feel like I've seen people like non-national parks, like, not like us. We go to like all the parks, right? But certain people only go to like, Yosemite, Glacier, Yellowstone, the Grand Canyon, like all those part, those all those are, I thought would be on the list because they are big monuments, I guess, in my mind of like the national park system, like the pillars.
Yeah, I think it's they rarely make this list, and ones that make the list more than Yosemite and Yellowstone are Grand Canyon and Zion. I think those two are the other two big national parks that, if they do crack the top 10 list, it's going to be one of those two.
Yeah, it's just strange that, like, the things that I think of as, like, classics aren't on that list. You know what I mean?
I mean, Yosemite is what? Like, that's at least a three-hour drive from San Francisco, I think. And then Yellowstone's in the middle of nowhere.
I guess if you're doing that, you're planning to stay out there for more than one day, so I guess that makes sense numbers wise.
Yeah,
I don't know. I would road trip to all those if I was to do a road trip.
Me too.
Cross country. We should do a season where we both quit our jobs and rent an RV and do the national park systems live.
I don't know about an RV, but I'm in on all the other stuff. Are you driving the RV?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm in.
Okay.
That's just, RVs just seem so big. Seems so difficult.
Oh, I wouldn't get a big one. I would get one of those like dinky little ones, like the ones you could rent. Say like Visit America on the side, the ones we hate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or we rent one of those like camper vans. Like the Ford, like.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, back to not dreaming. Those numbers are great. I do want to talk about a park that's close to us, though.
Okay.
Assateague Island has reopened. It was closed for, oh God, they had that big storm down there. Was it last year? Like something with the way to get in to the park was like closed. I don't remember the exact.
Which side? There's no way it was completely closed.
No, the way we were going to go, but you got
the Maryland side?
Yeah.
Okay. Or was it the Virginia side?
No, it was the Maryland side.
Is the Maryland side? That's the main entrance.
Yeah, the main entrance. Because I think if we were to do the Virginia side, it added how many hours to the trip?
I don't think it was that much. Wait, which trip was this?
No, if we talked about it. We were supposed to go and then
we talked multiple times about trying to get you there.
Yeah. I remember, but they just reopened it, and these projects were funded by the park interest and pass fees. 80% of all the revenue from Assateague Island helped in local sales of federal passes helped reopen this, which is kind of cool.
It is cool.
Yeah, 20% was used for like stuff in the park, like projects, like. And a big thing about National Parks Week is I know some companies donate during this week. I know it's the National Park Week is also sponsored by the National Parks Foundation, which is a great organization if you're looking to donate to.
Okay.
So, nice. Anyway, let's Let's get into our updated list here, huh?
Yeah, so for the main topic of this episode, this is kind of like a special episode for National Parks Week. We had one of these last year as well. And last year, we kind of just did a combined top 10. We combined our top 10 favorite national park sites and made our own parkmanship list, which last year was topped by Glacier National Park. So this year, we couldn't think of anything else, so we just decided to update our list.
It's a combined list.
Yeah. So are you ready to get it kicked off?
Yeah, you want to start us off with number one here?
Yes, we're gonna start with 10. We're gonna go fence build to see if Glacier National Park can repeat as number one.
Okay.
So number 10 is actually a tie between Everglades National Park and Wind Cave National Park. Andrew, why is Wind Cave National Park on this list?
The wildlife.
That's it.
I mean, I think it was really cool. We saw some unique creatures. It was fun to drive through. We did the cave tour, which was pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a good addition to my top 10. I don't know where you ranked it on yours, but it was up there for me.
It did not make my top 10 list. This got in solely on your votes. But yeah, there was a lot of wildlife. We did see a ton of bison. We saw a ton of prairie dogs.
We saw that bison using the sign as a back scratcher.
And then stop traffic.
Yeah, and then the bus go way too close to said bison.
Yeah. Did we see... I thought we saw pronghorn there, right?
Yeah, we saw pronghorn. We saw prairie dogs because there's that awful photo of me with a prairie dog.
That everyone's meme, Dale.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't see any elk, which was kind of the other big animal that would have liked to have seen there. But
yeah,
alas, we did not see any.
And then I think Everglades is also, I think, on both our lists. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to say before we move on, Wind Cave. Yeah, that cave tour was really cool. I was like, I reserved it thinking it was like the introductory cave tour, which it was. But like, we went really far down there.
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of our cooler adventures.
Yeah, it was a very unique experience for us.
Yeah, figuratively and literally, because it was cold, because it was a cave.
I mean, it was nice, because that was the middle of summer.
Damp. Yeah, it was damp, too.
Which they called it a dry cave.
It was not a dry cave.
Yeah, and at one point, one of the people in front of us slipped.
Yeah, it was really funny, because they cut in front of us.
Yeah.
Right before they slipped. Because they wanted to get ahead. Anyway.
Everglades National Park. I think I ranked this higher on my list. I think it's like in like five or six for me.
Mine's nine.
Yeah. So it made both of our lists. So that's good. I really love this park for the same reason as Wind Cave, which is the wildlife. There's so many bird species there. We saw roseate spoonbills. We saw white ibises. We did not see the wood stork, which was very disappointed by, and someone made a lot of fun about that fact for months, maybe even years afterwards.
I think it's been 3 years.
We saw crocodiles. We saw a manatee. We saw two manatees.
Yeah, I think we saw manatees on World Manatee Day or something like that.
It was
that.
Manatee Appreciation Day.
That's what it was.
Which is like, what are the odds?
Yeah.
It felt like an actual American safari anytime you enter into the Everglades. You're just going to see wildlife. We had a great time camping down there in Flamingo.
Which I think they reopened that visitor center / store that was closed while we were down there. So I'd like to go see it.
I don't know if they opened it yet. But I know they're also putting in actually no restaurant and lodge there, which I also don't know they opened yet, but it's got to be soon. Like, they're definitely renovating that.
Where would they put the lodge? Where we camped?
I don't know. I mean, they had a pretty big parking lot there.
They also had that weird, like, not like stone beach, but like, it's like scattered stone from some project and like torn down like wooden poles off to the right. I don't know. I'm trying to think.
We went there and the visitor center was literally a trailer?
Yeah. And it was super expensive because I think it was like $5 for like one of those 75-cent packs of gums you get in the vending machine.
No, that was the Marina.
Oh, that was the Marina, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of, there was a lot of stuff when we went there to do in Flamingo, and now there's probably a lot more.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on Everglades before we move on?
They had a cool wraparound porch at the visitor center.
They did. That was the, well, it has three visitor centers. That was the main one. What is it called? I think it's the Ernest F. Coe Visitor Center.
Yeah, he was the sole reason the park was a park. It was his life's passion, I believe. It's a great...
Wow. Leaving out Marjorie Stoneman Douglas.
I know, but there is a great drunk history episode on this, and that's the only reason I know this, like, by memory. Anyway, yeah, I think Everglades is one of those, like, as you said, American safari parks. It's a lot of wildlife. Yeah, I think it makes my top 10 because of the crocodile, or not crocodiles, the alligators and stuff down there.
Yep. There's crocodiles down there. We just didn't see any.
Yeah, we saw alligators. And that mud hike we did.
No, that was
is that Shark Valley?
No, that's Everglades though. But that was Big Cypress.
Big Cypress.
That was the mud hike.
Yep. All right. Ryan, what falls in at number 9?
So there is no number 9 because there was a tie.
That's
for
right.
Number 8 as well. And that was between Cape Cod National Seashore and Joshua Tree National Park. So Andrew, get us started on Joshua Tree National Park because this once again made it solely on your vote.
I have Joshua Tree like number 5. I think Joshua Tree had one of the cooler experiences because, like, I think it's the only desert environment we've been to. It's the best way to put it. It was boiling hot midday.
Yes, but we went in the summer in the middle of the day. So,
yeah, I thought it was one of the cooler parks because, like, the unique scenery, the hikes we did, driving through it was a lot of fun, minus getting airtime in the rental car.
that's when we tried going off-roading.
Yeah, that was something. We got some airtime. I thought we broke the rental car. I think that the sunset there was one of my favorites so far.
Wow, okay.
Not like top three, but definitely breaks the top 5 in sunsets.
Well, we didn't see the full one because somebody insisted we went to that Italian restaurant debacle.
that's an incident for later dates. I think that's actually in our Joshua Tree episode.
No, it's in our Southern California 2-parter.
Yeah. 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 I think it's up there for me. But you've been to more, so like my list pool is a lot smaller.
Yeah, that was also the first desert park I've been to. So at the time it was a very unique experience. In terms of wildlife, we did get to see bighorn sheep, which now I see bighorn sheep all the time, but that was the first time I saw bighorn sheep. So a lot of unique experiences at the time, but I've since, like, I've seen a lot of it since, which is probably why I did not make my top 10.
My next, like, ideal park that's kind of similar, I think, is the Colorado Sand Dunes. I want to go there really badly.
Okay, that's interesting.
It's a national park.
It is. But I don't know if that's I guess it's a desert, but I think it's like a different style of desert there.
Yeah, technically a desert's just arid. I don't remember the exact school definition, but I know you can have like Arctic deserts as well. People will correct me if I'm wrong on it. But anyway.
So yeah, the other one that was tied for 8 was Cape Cod National Seashore, and that got in solely on my vote, I think, which I probably ranked like 4th or 5th. And Cape Cod National Seashore is kind of very nostalgic for me. It's where my family used to go for summer vacation all the time. It was one of the first national parks I'd say I've ever visited. But beyond that, I've just had so many great experiences there. There's some cool hikes, Great Island Trail being the highlight of those. I've seen a surprising amount of wildlife here. You don't think of Massachusetts as having a lot of wildlife, but I've seen, you know, whales, porpoises just offshore.
I've seen Ryan try and pull a pole out of the sand on New Year's Day at Cape Cod.
Yeah, that was another great sunset. I've seen tons of great sunsets on Cape Cod.
We went hiking in snow boots.
We did. That was January 1st. So middle.
Sand. It was abysmal to hike in sand and snow boots. Your feet were too heavy.
Sand is, in general, tough to hike through.
Yeah, it's not great.
But speaking of wildlife, you know, I've seen coyotes and foxes and tons of deer and tons of turkeys. So many turkeys. The last time I was there, I did a really cool hike through the sand dunes, which once again, you know, type hike because you're walking through the sand, but you go through the sand dunes and go to these like old historic dune shacks. That was really cool. Felt like you were in another world, even though you're like right across the street from Provincetown, which is a pretty, I don't know about big area, but it's definitely very populated. So yeah, I love Cape Cod National Seashore. Any thoughts?
No, I said mine. I've been there like twice. I didn't go there as, you know, with my family as a vacation thing, but I think it's fun. It's something I will maybe go back to. It's not like on a high priority for me, but you know, it's fun. It's one of those national seashores that I like.
Okay, cool. So I think we can move on to number 7, which got in solely on your vote. So you're going to have to start this off. It's Cape Hatteras National Seashore.
Oh, Cape Hatteras is great. I went there last year. I thought it was cool. I like the lighthouse there. I think it's just an iconic scenery, and I saw sunset there. Or sunrise.
Which
the black and white one. The one on the not all the way at the end. It's the one right as soon as you turn right into the Outer Banks.
So you're referring to Bodie Island Lighthouse.
Yeah.
There's Bodie Island, there's Hatteras Island, and there's Ocracoke Island. They all have lighthouses that are black and white.
Oh. Well, I only went to the one because the other one was like a 2-hour drive and my companions at the time did not want to drive all the way down the seashore. But it was fun. I had fun time on the beach. That area is really nice. And I'm going back in a couple months here.
Nice. You have to hit Fort Raleigh next time.
I know. I had to get down there. See, the perks of this time is I'm probably going to have a rental car. So I'm not dependent on someone else's car. So, and said person in the car, so I can explore a little bit by myself. But yeah,
nice.
You've also been there, correct?
Yeah, I also went there last year, separate from you though. And I only went there for no, I went there for an overnight, so like I was there for 2 days. But yeah, I did Bodie Island and Hatteras Island, which yeah is a bit of a drive.
Yeah,
and not to I don't know how to pronounce this correctly. I'm going to try to do it. Ocracoke Island, which you actually have to take a ferry to get to.
Yeah.
But yeah, not my favorite national seashore. As I said previously, Cape Cod National Seashore is I just love that. But yeah, you know, it's an interesting environment. And I feel like from island to island, the environment's just changed completely. Like Bodie Island feels like a mid-Atlantic environment, and then once you go to Hatteras Island, it's much more of a southern environment. So that's a pretty cool transition. It's just super touristy down there. I mean, the National Seashore isn't, but like everything around it is super touristy, and you do get tons of crowds in the National Seashore areas regardless because of this.
Yeah, I mean, you could say the same thing for Cape Cod. It's the big premier beach destination spot up here because no one wants to go to New Jersey.
Atlantic City also gets pretty popular, but I see your point. But yeah. I feel like with Cape Cod, like I know some of the spots you can get to where you're away from people.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we can move on from this one.
All right, number six. I don't know if this made my top 10 list. If it did, it was at the end of the list. And if it didn't make it, it was very, very close to making my list. It definitely made your list. It's one of your favorites. Dry Tortugas National Park.
Yeah. Most unique park we've been to, hands down.
Is it?
I think so. It's the most remote so far.
It is the most remote. I'll give you that. It is definitely the most remote park we've been to.
Yeah. How long was the ferry?
2 hours. 2 hours.
Yeah. You had beer.
It wasn't three.
Was this the one you had beer at like 9 a.m.?
No, that was the ferry to Channel Islands.
Okay.
And the ferry to Boston Harbor Islands.
There's a lot of beer drinking on boats.
Yeah.
Is the bottom line. No, I thought it was really cool. It's one of the parks that I've wanted to go to for a while. Most unique, in my opinion, for what it is. It's a historic fort. It's also like set in the scenic light blue ocean. Unfortunately, I forget what a couple years ago now, it was closed due to getting hit with that hurricane.
It gets closed pretty frequently. Like, it got closed earlier this year because there was a bunch of migrants from Cuba who crash landed.
Yeah.
So they had to close it for a few days.
Yep.
So, yeah, definitely if you're going, I guess, anytime, if
the
migrants are going to come in, I would just check beforehand to make sure it's actually open. Because, yeah, they get a lot of storm closings and I guess the occasional immigration issue closing.
Yeah. I thought it was, it holds a special place in my heart as one of my favorites. But it's in my top three. I don't know where yours is, but
I forget. It's either like 9 or 10 or just outside of my list.
All right. Well,
it's a really good park. It's either this or Hot Springs that I think is the most unique national park that we've been to so far.
Hot Springs is weird because it's in the middle of a town.
Weird, though. I.e. unique.
I know.
But yeah, it's interesting, the combination of history and wildlife that's like put in on top of each other in such a short area for Dry Tortugas, because you have like the Civil War era fort that you can tour through. And at the same time, you know, you can go snorkeling, see all these like really cool, colorful fish and tons of coral.
Yep.
The first time I've ever seen coral. So that was really cool. And yeah, there's that one part of the island where all the birds were yipping and yapping nonstop.
Yeah. I think it was like their migrant stop or something, but it was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. Very loud once you get to that one corner of the island.
Yeah. Are we in our top five now?
We are in our top five. And the one is number five, solely on the basis of my vote, which I voted at number two. It's the Appalachian National Scenic Trail. So the Appalachian National Scenic Trail is my local national park site, and thus it's probably my most visited national park site. I just love it just because it's the best hiking area around. There's so many great scenic views. There's so many different trails you can do. And the restrictions are pretty loose. So in Connecticut, you know, it's much different out west, where the restrictions are much more loose out west. In Connecticut, you know, all of our parks are only open from, you know, like 8 a.m. until sunset. And when sunset happens, you're legally not supposed to be in the park. Appalachian Trail, you can just, you know, park your car and go hiking whenever you want. But yeah, I just spend so much time here. It's such a beautiful area, and yeah, so many great hiking opportunities. What are your thoughts on Appalachian National Scenic Trail?
I've only done a small portion of it, so it's fine. I mean, it's probably just outside my top 10, but I think you've seen more of the trail than I have.
Yeah, have you been to any parts of it outside of Connecticut?
No.
Okay.
That's probably a big factor to why you've done Massachusetts and...
I've done Massachusetts. I've done New Hampshire.
Yeah.
I've done New York. I've done everything from the Massachusetts-Connecticut border to the Hudson River, not the Hudson River. Yes, the Hudson River.
Yeah.
In New York. And I've done a bit in Virginia with my dad in Shenandoah. I've done a bit in, I think, New Jersey. It's either New Jersey or Pennsylvania in Delaware Water Gap. Yeah, so this is a park that runs through other parks, which makes it even more interesting. So yeah, I've done parts of it in Harper's Ferry.
Yep.
So yeah, I've done bits and pieces all over the place.
All right. Well, Ryan, what came in at number four?
So there was no number four because there was another tie at number three.
Oh boy.
And the tie at number three. They were Acadia National Park and National Mall and Memorial Park. So Andrew started us off with National Mall and Memorial Parks.
It's just a classic. We go there so much. It's one of the more urban parks we frequent. I think it's really cool because there's so much history and there's always something new going on near the National Mall. And it's always ever changing because one year we went, the reflecting pool was closed, and then the next year it wasn't, but they were working on the steps. It's just always ever evolving. It's always something new when we go down there.
Yeah, I think ever evolving is like the perfect description of it. And, even though, we go there every year or multiple times per year, there's always something new to see. We didn't go last year, but in 2021, we saw two new monuments that were just opened that year in the Eisenhower Memorial and the World War I National Memorial. And they're always adding stuff. We've had so many great experiences there.
We have to go back for the plaque.
What plaque? Oh, yeah, they haven't finished that yet. So.
Oh, okay, good. I thought we missed that.
No.
All right.
But yeah, we've seen so many great sunsets there, had so many great walks or drunken scooter rides around there.
There's so many scooters.
Yeah. But yeah.
It's just littered everywhere. That side tangent, the scooters things are like everywhere in some of like the more urban parks are like getting around, and they're just littered everywhere. It's kind of takes away from the beauty of the park. But that they are trying to keep them out of the, the main views. I know there's like little side pull offs for by the Lincoln Memorial that we dropped our scooter off because you can't leave them on the paths and stuff.
Yeah, but yeah, National Memorial Park's great. Definitely visit there.
Yep.
So the other park that was at number three was Acadia National Park. That was my number one. It did not make your list.
And why is that, Ryan?
You have not been there yet.
Correct.
So Acadia National Park is, the big northeastern park. We live in the Northeast, and despite that, Shenandoah is actually closer than Acadia, so it's not our local national park. But still, Acadia National Park is a day hiker's paradise. There's, everything ranging from the easy, stroll by the beach to the uber aggressive precipice trail where you're like hanging on like bars and rungs to make sure you're not falling off a cliffside. So yeah, anything you can imagine in terms of a hike is located at Acadia National Park. You can do anything there in terms of hiking. A lot of great food. Maine's famous for its lobster, and Desert Island's definitely famous for its wild blueberries, where you can they just show up on any hiking trail. You can just eat them by the handful. It's such a cool experience. But Jordan Pond House is the famous restaurant there. If you're going, definitely eat there, even though it gets crowded. Great food there. Let's see, what else? If you're not into hiking or eating, which, why aren't you? There's also a great auto tour road that has a bunch of great stops at, cliff sides and the ocean. Just such a great and beautiful park. It's my favorite. What else can I say?
All right.
Where are you going?
What?
When are you going?
Hopefully soon.
Okay.
What's at number two here, Ryan?
So I actually just mentioned it. It's our local proper national park, and that is Shenandoah National Park.
Yeah, it's a great one.
That made both of our lists.
Mine's, I think it's my number two. It is my number two. I think Shenandoah is one of those scenic drives, and it was a lot of fun to hike around. There's just a lot to do there, and when we went, we only did, I think, a small portion of it.
We did about 55 to 60% of it.
Yeah, but there's so many trails.
Skyline
there.
Drive is what you're referring to.
Yeah, and then it goes right into the Blue Ridge Parkway, no?
Yes. Yeah. As soon as you finish Skyline Drive, you can continue right on to the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Yep, which is something I want to do. But
and you continue on from the Blue Ridge Parkway straight to the Great Smoky Mountains.
They have great food there at that. Do you remember the name of the lodge?
That was the Skyland Resort.
Yep. They had some great alcoholic drinks we tried.
That was at the Big Meadows. I don't know what the speakeasy they have at Big Meadows Lodge is, but I forget what it's called, but that's where we had those.
Yep. I had an alcoholic hot chocolate. I remember that. We saw a waterfall. It wasn't too crowded at the waterfall either. Usually those, when you go hiking to, one of those scenic vistas, it's usually pretty crowded.
Yeah, we went during the busy season, too.
Yeah, because I remember we did a hike at, I think it was Glacier.
Yeah.
With your parents that one day up to that waterfall, and it was literally littered with, kids and families. Yeah.
Even the one we did by ourselves at Glacier was crowded.
Yeah. I think it's one of our local national park, so it holds a special place for me.
Yeah, you mentioned the food, and this has to be my favorite national park for food, I think.
Does it beat Hot Springs? Because that had beer.
I said food, not beer.
Okay.
I don't know. They have some really, I mean, obviously the beer is better in Hot Springs, because they make it right in the national park. But the food in Shenandoah is just so good. at Skyland Resort and Big Meadows Lodge, you know, you have two
options. It's that classic family, home-style meal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw my first black bear in Shenandoah. I've been there 3 times now. And yeah, I've been with a great range of people. I went with you once. I went with my sister once. I went with my dad once. So
I'm planning on going there again this year.
Yeah, it's just a nice place to do a family adventure. Yeah, Skyland, the Skyland Drive, great feature if you're not into physical activity. When we went, there was a bunch of old people there, and it makes sense because two of the highlights of the Skyline Drive were just driving around and
food.
Yeah. I will say, once you get past, I forget what that one overlook is, about like right after the halfway point, right after Big Meadows, there's that one overlook that just looks so amazing.
And because you could see the valley, which is sick.
And it's one of the last ones we visited. I always make sure to visit it. Once you get past that, I finally did the southern half. It kind of goes downhill from there. So you've seen all the stuff you didn't do all rag, but you've seen all the highlights of Skyline Drive at least.
Yep. I think
sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we did that one hike, that had that pretty cool overlook, one of my favorite photos of me is from.
I think it's Stony Man. It's whatever the tall mountain is right next to, Skyland.
Yep.
I think it's Stony Man.
Yep. All right, Ryan. I think that brings us to number one, huh?
Yeah. So number one, defending its title from last year, is Glacier National Park.
It's because, I think for me, it's because we spent a week there.
Yeah, this is definitely the most time that the two of us spent in a park together.
Stays, too. I want to mention that.
Oh, yeah. We definitely lived the high life there. We stayed at Rising Sun Motor Inn, which I was, just really surprised by how cool that was. Like, I heard, like, Motorin, and it's like, oh, it's going to be sketchy. But that place was really, really cool. Then we went to that cabin in Agpar, which, not the best sleeping arrangement, but, like, perfect setting.
It was and hot.
Then we went to one right outside the park.
Yeah.
Park border, but it was, like, a really nice hotel. Yeah. And it's like you just open up your outdoor balcony and you're like literally staring at Glacier National Park. It was literally right outside the boundary.
Yep.
You could like literally spit into Glacier National Park. And then finally, like the greatest, yes, the greatest hotel that we've ever been to. Many Glacier Hotel.
In the park system, because we've been to a great hotel in DC, but we were definitely underdressed for it.
I think Many Glacier is better than that.
You're right. Scenery and like all that. It's like in the style of like
an old Swiss hotel.
Yeah, it's so unique. And you could just walk out the doors and you're in the park.
I remember one morning I just decided to do that loop. So it's right on the lake. I remember like one where I decided to do a loop around the lake. Came back, sat in for breakfast. I don't know if you were there, but my dad was there.
No, I was there. I remember that.
And some guy goes, oh, look at that bear. And there was a grizzly bear like right where I was walking. And you can see it.
Yeah. One of the greater parks we've been to. I think once we go to more parks that have like in lodge stays, like Grand Canyon, Yosemite, Death Valley, I think more and more of those will make this list and maybe knock Glacier out of its title, but Glacier's just so cool. And we had that great hike up to the glacier.
Yep. Grinnell Glacier Trail.
Yep. Yeah. A very unique experience. But yeah, Glacier takes the number one again.
Yeah, so that's our list. So it was the number one was Glacier, two was Shenandoah, tied at three was Acadia and the National Mall Memorial Parks. Five was the AT, six was Tri-Tortuga, seven is Cape Hatteras, eighth was a tie between Cape Cod and Joshua Tree, and then rounding out the list was a tie between Everglades and Wind Cave. So the new entries on this list were Wind Cave National Park and Cape Hatteras National Seashore. And there was only one park that was on our list last year that did not make our list this year. Do you know what it was?
No.
It was the Santa Monica Mountains National Recreation Area.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's cool, but like...
I love that park.
Yeah, but like... There's so many cool new vistas and sceneries we've been to, so... I don't know. It's a great mention, though. It might reappear one day. You never know.
Yep. We'll probably be doing this again
next year. Well, Ryan, we have some news, don't we?
Yeah. So this was a special episode just for National Park Week, but we will be back with our official season 3. We're going to be back sometime in June. We're shooting for June 16th, which is a Friday. But yeah, we'll definitely be back by some point in mid-June.
Yep.
And this is... This is going to be our last season under the current format, just because we're going to run out of material to cover this season. So we might have to change what we're talking about national parks wise after this. But we're finally going to do our upper Delaware trip that we've been talking about for two seasons now. And our first episode, which we're shooting for on June 16th, is just going to be a catch up with what we've been doing national parks wise since season 2. So any thoughts, Andrew?
No, but I would like to mention that, Ryan, you have some ties to the national parks more than visiting now, yeah?
I don't want to talk about that yet.
All right. We'll save that for our premiere debut.
Sometime in June.
Yep.
So, Andrew, are you doing anything for the rest of National Park Week?
I don't think so. I have to work, unfortunately. Yeah. I might stop at Weir Farm on my way home, maybe.
Cool. You should definitely do that.
Yep. So I'll figure it out. But Ryan, you know what time it is, right?
Yeah, it's time to say goodbye.
Yep. Well, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Ryan.
And this was Parkmanship.